Ho, 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 motherfuckers. It's holiday season. It's almost Christmas. You probably have been celebrating that the Hanukkah is already in full swing. I'm not entirely sure when Kwanzaa is or whatever. If you're a Satanist and you believe in Krampus, it doesn't matter. I hope everybody's having a happy holidays. And we're going to have a little bit different of a show. We're going to spend the first like 10 minutes talking about the dreadful Texans game. We're not even going to preview the Seahawks game. If you want a Seahawks preview, I don't know what to tell you, but it ain't Santa ain't bringing you one from Football and Other F Words, because we just don't want to talk about that.
Instead, there's nothing of interest. Just watch the rookies. That's all we're gonna say. Yeah,
there's nothing of interest happening in the Seahawks game. And if we're really in the rest of the year,
unless you know, I am somewhat interested in Caleb Farley. If Caleb Farley actually is going to play this
year
season,
three could still happen.
I'd be intrigued to see what that looks like.
But we're not going to talk about that. Instead, we got a segment that we are bringing to you for the first time ever. It's going to be a fun one. It's got some rules to the segment. I got some music for the segment, some sound effects. It's going to be really good. But first, guys, we all, if you have kids currently listening, which I don't know why you do, but if you have kids that are looking forward to seeing what Santa Claus brings them, this would be the time to maybe skip ahead, use that 30-second button, skip ahead a few minutes. Guys, girls, theys, thems, who all ever may be listening, we all know that Santa's not real. So head to Bluegrass Beverages and tell your kids that Santa doesn't want milk and cookies this year. He wants potato chips and whiskey. So go to Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Buy you some whiskey. Have them pour you a little glass. I got it a little bit clinging right here. Have them pour a little glass. Put it by the fireplace. That way, when you're putting together whatever god-awful 100-piece contraption you have bought your kid that he will never play with for after this year. He'll never play with it ever again. Like, if you got him one of those, like, you know, kitchen play sets or whatever, you have something good to drink that your kid actually bought you that you did not have to buy. Technically, your significant other probably bought. But either way, fuck cookies and milk. We're going whiskeys and potato chips this year. That's what you need. Bluegrass Beverages, Hendersonville, Tennessee. We're a little loopy. It's 10 o'clock. It's way past my bedtime. I'm usually in bed watching TV. But, you know, just how life works out sometimes. Mike, speaking of life not working out, nothing worked on the offensive line for the Tennessee Titans on Sunday versus the Texans. It was one of the most embarrassing shit or pants shitting performance I have ever seen by an offensive line. That includes the game where I was in person watching Marcus Mariota get sacked nine times in a game, including watching on TV Marcus Mariota or Zach Mettenberger getting demolished against the Texans, eerily enough. Because, you know, Zach Mettenberger and Will Levis are the same quarterback, according to some people. But
right.
it was a devastating blow to anybody that enjoys football. Not just Titans fan. It's that game, that offensive line performance, set back offensive lines thousands of years. Because it was the most dreadful thing I've ever watched. They couldn't run block. They couldn't pass block. They couldn't do anything. And there has been so much discourse on X, and I pretty much have stayed out of it for the most part because I've collected a bunch of narratives, and I have an article coming out, stackinthenbucks.com, tomorrow, very data-driven, like my stuff normally is, to actually just kind of like shatter the glass, shatter the perception on what this Titans offense is. You have an article that came out today at paulkarski.com on Wednesday that is talking about how the offensive line is everything. And in my article, I said, if the quarterback is the engine, the offensive line is the fuel. And right now, this offensive line, I don't know how anybody could do it. I don't know. There isn't anybody that could do it because we've seen them not do it. We've seen McVay. We've seen Shanahan not do it. And go read Mike's article for more. But Mike, is there really anything they could have done yesterday, passing more on first down, outside of getting Tajay Spears involved? I don't know if there's anything they could have done.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only argument that I've seen is, you know, get more of the quick passing game going and stuff like that, which I think is fine in theory, but it's also, that relies on receivers that can get open quickly and operate in short areas, which the Titans have none of. They don't have those guys. Like, it's one thing to be able to say, you know, all right, well, you're going to go to the quick game and you've got Justin Jefferson, or you've got, you know, these elite receivers who can separate. And look, Hopkins, I think, is a good player. He's had a great season, all that stuff. It's separating in short areas is not his game anymore. That's not where he lives as a player. That's not where he produces. So they just have nobody who can do that. So you're just so boxed in. Like, and I mentioned this last year kind of similarly with Todd Downing, who I don't think was a good coordinator. I do think Tim Kelly has been a better coordinator, just looking at the design of the offense, the plays that are called, how predictable they are, so on and so forth. I think Tim Kelly's a better play caller than Todd Downing. And the people that say, oh, they're all just the same, those are people that you should just immediately ignore, because they are not watching the All-22. They're not studying this team. They're just looking at the results and saying, oh, results bad, that means they're all the same. Like, they're running the same. They're running the bad offense that doesn't score touchdowns, just like, you know, Downing did last year. So, yeah, I just think it's one of these things where it's the easiest thing in the world to criticize offensive coordinators. Everybody does it on every team. Like, every team, you second guess offensive coordinators, you know, call the touchdown play more.
And I get it in the moment, right? Like, as they, easy, as yeah. I think we both do it in the moment, in the game. I think it's passed down from father to father, from generation to generation, because my dad still does it, and I get mad at when he does it. I'm like, dude, you can't do that. But then I turn around and do it the next week, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm such a fucking genius in the moment. But then you go back and look at stuff, you watch the game, you think about it, you dwell on it, then you're just kind of like, because at the time, I'm like, Tim Kelly fucking sucks, right? And I get why everybody jumps on that, because he's the one calling the plays, right? Like, yeah. He's the one calling them. And then, like, I'm sitting there with, you know, Amos, we're hotel hop bar hopping. He's talking about, it's like, man, I don't know, really, looking back on it, I don't know what he could have done. I woke up the next morning, and I'm like, it just all comes back to the offensive line. And yeah. Yes, that is that's a Vrabel personnel issue, not a Vrabel coaching issue. And we're in this time where we have to separate Vrabel the personnel guy and Vrabel the coach. Unfortunately, now this does not mean that Vrabel cannot get fired if heading into 2020 or after 2024, it's more of the same, because then he has nowhere to hide, right? Like, nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. That's what I wrote. But in my article, you know, I talk about Derrick Henry's decline is offensive line driven. I'm shattering that narrative. That narrative was evident this past week, yeah. In the season long, that's not the issue. Another one I'm shattering. Titans in this thing that they run pass and first down rushing, and they're only rushing on first downs. A lot of people, I think, are taking, and the reason I'm shattering these narratives is it's also narratives I held until recently and doing some research, and that, like, when you really start diving into it, this offense has evolved, but this offense can't evolve enough because of the offensive line. And that's really what it boils down to. Because if you look at what, and you wrote about it, but I mean, McVay and Shanahan, I mean, McVay in the year after the Super Bowl, McVay had one of the worst pass blocking unit offensive lines, and Matt Stafford was terrible. But you think that McVay is going to come in here and do that with aged out, Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis with a worse offensive line? I mean, it's the same in PFF pass block rating if you are into that kind of thing, which is kind of a catch-all metric. But we're talking about a team where the quarterback is getting hit. That means whether he's getting sacked or hit after he throws the ball for, like, every five snaps. I don't think McVay is going to be able to do anything with it. Like, that's what it drives me insane. And then you're like, well, do you give Vrabel and Kelly, you give them the San Francisco offensive line, the personnel, they're going to be cooking. It's like Art Smith, right? Like, I feel like Art Smith is a great OC, but I don't think he's really any different than Tim Kelly or any better. When you go and read this article tomorrow, I lay out what Tim Kelly is doing with less compared to what Art Smith did with way, way more. It's not that far of a stretch to think that, like, if Tim Kelly had everything that Art Smith had in 2019, 2020, that the results would be the same for 2019, 2020. It's personnel. Like, right? Isn't this all personnel?
That's what I keep coming back to. I mean, I just don't see any evidence that it's not personnel, right? Like, I mean, because I just think about it, and I think we've had the discussion in the group chat that we're in. Like, what would you have had him do in that Texans game, right? Like, okay, so you don't like the first down run calls. Would you rather him have passed the ball all the time in a game where they got sacked, what, 7-8 times, whatever it was?
21% of the dropbacks resulted in a sack. 21%!
Exactly. So if you want him to protect his young quarterback, which everyone's screaming, oh, you got Will Levis hurt now, you know, that's a fireable offense by itself, all this stuff. So the solution to protecting your quarterback better would have been to put him in more dropback situations with an offensive line that just simply cannot block the guys in front of them. They can't block them. I don't know how many times you need to watch Jalen Duncan. And I know, like,
rain wreck on Sunday.
It was bad. And I mean, Raiden's isn't a ton better. The numbers were better for Raiden's, but I mean, there's still, like, just some coyote ugly kind of plays out there that are just awful. So I don't know. I just think you watch these guys, they cannot block the guys in front of them. And it's not, to me, like a coaching or scheme thing. Like, they know who they're supposed to block. They cannot physically block them. Now, there are some communication things, clearly. Like, there's double teams between Skoronski and Jalen Duncan, where they both think that the other guy is going to climb, or they both try to climb thinking the other guy is going to hold the block, and neither of them hold the block, so they just end up releasing a guy into the backfield. There's stuff like that that, hey, that's why you don't want to play rookie offensive linemen when you have the chance not to, but especially not two right next to each other. But I think there's some stuff like that that stuff will work itself out as those guys play more. But there's a talent issue. There's a real talent issue, and and Skoronski didn't have a great game. Now, I think Skoronski, I'm willing to give him more of a pass because the sample size is pretty good of him being a good guard. If not, I mean, he's not been elite. He's not, anyone who thought he was going to plug and play and be Zach Martin as a rookie, I think was setting themselves up for disappointment there. I know he was drafted high. I know there's high expectations. Those high expectations are fair, but even Zach Martin, and going back to these other top guards, when they come into the league their rookie year, they go through the same bumps and bruises. Like, there is a learning curve to playing the position, especially when, by the way, Peter Skoronski didn't play guard at the college level or the high school level, so he's playing a new position for the first time this year. Well,
and you're also playing in between a microwaved fish and boiled chicken breast. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it's terrible. I mean, he's having to overcompensate. And I think kind of like, he's pressing, kind of like Will Levis presses sometimes. I feel like he's trying to do too much instead of just, he just got to do, he can't help anybody. Like, that's the point. He's just got to realize, he's just got to do his assignment. And let me say something. Jalen Duncan, I agree. This is from, and I can't remember the exact word, but this is from James Foster, who was on the Hot Read podcast on Tuesday, and it was really good. But, like, he can't do his assignments. Duncan, it cannot be relied on to do his assignments at this point in time. Now, yeah. I don't know how much of that should be put on coaching. We're going to talk about that kind of stuff later on in our next segment. But I am just, you can't rely on either Aaron Brewer to be able to stick in his area of blocking and hold up his guy, or you can't expect Duncan to actually know what his fucking assignment is and actually execute it. Like, it's pretty bad. And I look at it and I go, that's why I'm like, okay, I really don't care about that Skoronski had one really, really terrible game.
He did.
Everybody had a terrible game on that offensive line.
and one specifically terrible rep that, you know, like, obviously is going around. And look, I get it. It was a horrible rep. Like, dude got just clubbed right out of the way, you know, and allowed his man to just beat him one-on-one immediately. Like, terrible rep, granted. But, I mean, like you said, like, remember this whole fan base once thought Ben Jones sucked because he was playing between Josh Klein and Quentin Spain. It turns out Quentin Spain and Josh Klein sucked. Ben Jones was a good player. And once you got good guards around him, Ben Jones was one of the better centers in the NFL for, you know, half a decade here. So I think there's some of that going on for sure with Skoronski. But there's no doubt to me that Skoronski is a starting level NFL guard. He's your best offensive lineman on the team currently, without doubt. Like, it is crystal clear. He's your best guy right now. The bar super low, but granted, that is the case. He's going to be your starting left guard next year. Like, point blank, that is the one guy that you can write into the starting lineup for next year that I'm like, okay, he's your starter at left guard, and you feel fine about it. Like, I think you feel good about it, really.
But you also have seen the same stuff that everybody said, this is why he's a guard, right? He lacks a powerful punch, yeah. and he lacks length, and yeah. That matters. That's why he's at guard. But it's also like, and James, I'm stealing this from him as well, but he said there's a difference between going up against University of Minnesota defensive linemen and looking really good and going up against NFL defensive linemen. That's the whole point of what I was saying, that, well, this is why he can't be a tackle. His best spot is being a guard, and you're seeing why. Like, if you put him, it wouldn't be Jalen Duncan bad. It may not be Andre Dillard or Dennis Daly bad, but it'd be pretty bad with him over at left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'd be better at left tackle than he is at left guard, right? Like, I mean, I think it's a more difficult position to play. Especially with the length, you know, limitations and things like that, which, I mean, there is a reason. Like, I know people get tired of, you know, hearing people talk about the length thing, but there's a reason people talk about it. It's because, like, he would be an extreme, extreme outlier if he proved to be like a high level starting tackle with 32 inch arms. That just doesn't happen, at the NFL level. So I think it's, he is a guard. We've had this conversation, I feel like, a million times. Yeah. And that's okay for him to be a guard. And he just needs to be the best guard that he can be. And they need to leave him alone. Let him get better. And I think he's been fine.
And, you know, just to put a bow on this, the entire offensive line was terrible. Well, you can't rely on Throckmorton to be your guard of the future. I don't care in his limited snaps what he looks like. You can't rely on that.
No.
I'm okay, still okay with Brunskill. He's just battling through some ankle injuries. I mean, here's the thing. You can get by with a league average right guard, right? But you got to have the tackles. And right now, they don't have the tackles. Like, in my opinion, it needs to go left tackles. It needs to go tackles and center because you already got the left guard. This offseason is all about the tackles and the center. I don't care what happens at right guard right now. Like, I think, because you remember, like, Quentin Spain was there, and he was serviceable at some point. I don't know if he's right guard or left guard, but they've shown with tackle play, right guard really doesn't matter. But you have to have the center, the left guard, and the tackles. Yeah. That's what you got to have.
Yeah, I'm with you. I you know, I'm not the biggest Brunskill fan. I think he's very limited and just like a
PB Gay's like, oh, Raidens wasn't terrible. The entire offensive line was terrible. This Raidens fascination, because you think he's on a heater for these last 2 weeks or whatever. Raidens was objectively still bad. He was not good. He may not have had the pressure. He wasn't as bad as Duncan, but he still wasn't good just because he only allowed one person. He was good in the run game. He wasn't good at it. Blocking off his guys. Watch the film. None of them were good. And just because he's not, you know, averaging, you know, five pressures a game for these last two games or whatever he's been averaging this whole time, he's not a starting offensive line. Maybe he could be right guard, like I said, but you have to have a tackle on both sides. Like, Brunskill is a good right guard, but he is not like, he's not like all pro or anything, but he is a good right guard, but he's been battling through ankle injuries since the Pittsburgh game.
if Brunskill is your fifth best offensive lineman, you can be fine. If he is your second or third best offensive lineman, you are not fine. That's kind of where I am with him. Like he needs to be your fifth or sixth or seventh guy for a good group. And like you said, like you've got to be, here's my thing. If you want to be a very good offensive line, you need two good tackles. If you want to be an average offensive line, you need one good tackle. You have got to at least have one good tackle on this football team, or you're going to continue to be dysfunctional no matter how good you are from guard to guard, right? Like, because like I mentioned in the article for PK.com, it comes down to if you've got a one tackle who's good and you can leave him alone, you can trust him to win his assignment one-on-one, you can slide protection to the other side, you can chip to the other side, you could help with alignment to the other side. You can do so many things to hide one tackle in pass protection. You cannot do those things on both sides and still have a functional offense, just given the way that the numbers work, right? Like it is a numbers game at that point, and you are hampering your numbers. Now, it's great if you don't have to help either tackle, and you can run all this empty shit. You can run, you can get super creative. You can use your tight ends in the passing game, you know, like the 49ers do, you know, without them having to chip every play and things like that. That really opens up like the full, you know, playbook for Tim Kelly. But when you don't have tackle, like it starts to box you in, and then you can't run the ball. And then you know, like, it's just, at some point, what can you do? Like, what can you do well? And the answer right now for the Titans is nothing. There's nothing that they do well on offense. Period, point blank. There's nothing that they do well as a team on offense. Now, there's individual players who do things well, but not as a team, not as a unit. They do not do anything well on that side of the ball.
All right. Real quick before we get into our segment. Brandon asked, do we know if Cartham made any scouting department changes aside from bringing in his assistant GMs? From what I have heard, we don't know that he has, but we know for sure. We don't know if maybe he brought in extras or whatever, but we know that he kept the majority of the staff on. And from what I have been told by people who know people, so it's secondhand information, but it's reliable secondhand information I'm getting, is that they're kind of letting contracts expire. I don't know why, but seems for like whatever reason, that's what they're doing. It seems like a huge mistake, but that's apparently what they're doing. But that's just, you know, what I hear. So we're introducing a holiday segment, and it's called Dear Santa. And here's the premise. Mike and I have our own Christmas wish list about the Titans 2024 offseason, because we don't give a shit about the 2023 season anymore. We can make changes to the staff, get whatever free agents we want, and let any current players go, and ask Santa for any kind of players in the draft. However, each of us have three total vetoes that we can use at any point in time, but we can only use it three times. And for example, I can veto a player that I think is going to get tagged that maybe Mike wants to use. And here's some limitations. Because Santa does have a salary cap out in the North Pole. We are working under the premise that Titans have $90 million of cap space. But based on league average of in-season cap space available over the last 5 years, we can only spend a max of $82 million of it. So that gives us about $8 million of playing room in season. So we can do the staff. We're going to go staff, free agency personnel, and the draft. Okay, so let's go take a sit on Santa's lap. And let's ask Santa for something, because it's time for the first ever Football and Other F Words, Dear Santa. We're going to start with the staff, and I'm going to start with my little wish list here. Dear Santa, I want Jason hoteling out of here, and bring me Roy Isvan. Assistant offensive line coach for the Eagles, has been there since 2019, has the respect and adoration of his entire offensive line unit, and has real damn offensive line experience. Because this offensive line has no idea how to pass off stunts, has no idea how to communicate anything that needs to be communicated, and that, to me, does fall on the offensive line coach. I'm sure he's a nice guy, and I hate for him to be out of a job around the holidays. So you... Santa can fire him after the season's over. I also want Shane Bowen and Tim Kelly to get at least 2 head coaching interviews apiece, and one of them to get a job just to rub it in people's faces, Santa. And Santa, finally, I want Charles London to stay.
All right. I'm not going to use any vetoes on any of those. I like the Eagles offensive line coach. The one that I'm kind of circling right now is actually Carmen Brasillo from the Raiders.
With a name like Brasillo Scarnecchia, a good Italian name, I'm in. Isfana may be Russian, so I may be able to be, Russian. We'll do Russian Italian.
Yeah. Some sort of European kind of set up there. So Carmen Brasillo, I like him. If the Raiders' entire staff get fired, if Antonio Pierce keeps that job, I think he'll probably stay. Who knows? Depending on who they hire, they may end up retaining some of the key staff members. And Brasillo has been fantastic for them. Their offensive line has performed at a high level the last 2 years. That is not the reason that they are bad. And that's despite Colton Miller's the only kind of brand name offensive lineman they have on that unit right now. They're getting by with Jermaine Alouafour at right tackle and Andre James, who is basically their Aaron Brewer at center. They don't have elite guards really. Dylan Parham, I think, is a pretty good player, but
Memphis kinda, boy, he's awesome.
But he's kind of he's been effective for them, right? Too.
He's the John Moran of offensive linemen.
That's right. Yeah. I've often heard him, Dylan Parham and Ja compared. I think that's a good place to look if you're looking for, because I think Munchak, everyone wants Munchak. I get it. I do want Munchak too. It would be great to have him. I just don't think he's probably going to come back here to be an offensive line coach after being the head coach, and being, canned by this organization. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I'd bust all the nuts if Mike Munchak came.
It would be great.
The nutcracker of busting nuts.
I mean, I guess if we're asking Santa for stuff, I'll ask for Mike Munchak.
I try to keep it a little real. Yeah, a little real.
If he slides a Carmen Brasillo in my stocking, I'm going to be perfectly happy.
All right. Your Santa list?
I do.
For the staff? Okay.
For the staff, yeah. Okay. Dear Santa, I also want Jason O'Dilly gone. And it's not that he's been, that I know that he's a bad offensive line coach. It's just that I don't know that he's a good one. And that is the most important position on the staff. I'd also like for some sort of exorcist to come into the defensive backs room. And I think Chris Harris is a good football coach. But maybe just sprinkle a little bit of ointment around the facility and in that specific meeting room and see if we can't fix whatever is plaguing this horrific pass defense that just cannot be exterminated from the building. And then finally, I think it's time for Rob Moore to go.
Rob Moore on the list.
Not that I think he's a bad coach necessarily, but the receivers aren't getting that much better. I think NWI is a good story. I'll give him a little bit of credit for AJ Brown, but Treylon Burks has been a disaster, and Kyle Phillips isn't doing much even when he has been healthy on the field here recently. I think maybe you could upgrade. I think maybe you could go upgrade a wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm with you. Speaking of NWI, this side note. So I agree with everything that you said. I really am not going to use my vetoes. I'm going to save them because I feel like we're going to be going veto heavy in these next 2 segments. But while we're talking about NWI, he's of course on IR, and I saw that Buck put out this thing. The Tennessee Titans fans should want him back. No, I'm good. I think I'm good on the NWI experiment, and not to say that he's a bad guy or anything, but he's kind of like Derrick Henry. If he's here, he's the Derrick Henry of wide receivers. If he's here on this roster, they're going to find ways to fucking use him.
Call him the Derrick Henry of wide receivers.
Yep, he's a Derrick Henry of wide receivers. It doesn't matter. God. He's playing 60 fucking snaps. Like, he's I'm good. I'm just good on the end. He's a good guy. Like, let him go be the Josh Reynolds of somewhere else. Like, I'm good on NWI.
I do think there is something to that, that like they just cannot resist putting him on the field when he's here.
They cannot resist.
But I mean, you could do way worse as like a wide receiver 4 or 5. So I'm not like, if he's back on the team next year, I'm fine with it. If he's not, I'm fine with it. Like, I don't think it matters one way or another, really, particularly. You could go draft Jordan Whittington to do the same thing that NWI does.
All right. So since we didn't veto anything in the staff or the staff section. So in the free agency personnel and draft, it's like just we're going to veto on the spot. You just go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Okay.
And we'll veto from there. We'll talk about the veto or whatever. So I'm going to let you go first. We're going to go back to Santa's workshop. We'll talk about free agency and current Titans personnel. With Mike, you can start us off with your Christmas wish list. You sit on Santa's lap.
Dear Santa, please bring me Patriots right tackle Michael Onwenu in free agency. He's 26 years old. He's played right guard. He's played right guard and right tackle. You could use him for either, but he's really been better at right tackle, actually, and that's where he's been playing this season. I think if you wanted to slide him in at right tackle and then draft your left tackle, I think that would be probably the best possible solution that you can find in free agency this offseason for your tackle problem. I'm going to pass on Tyron Smith, who is injured like 70% of the time.
Marcus Mosher, who follows the Cowboys, put out a tweet yesterday or X yesterday, maybe it's even today on Wednesday. He's like, he thinks Tyron Smith's going to retire. Like, he alluded that is the most likely outcome, which is going to be a nightmare, Mike. And let me tell you why. Because next year, when whoever they don't get or whoever they get, it just like sucks. Everybody's like, they should have signed Tyron Smith. These people are not even know that he retired. Like, if he retires, nobody's going to know. And they're gonna be like, why didn't they sign Tyron Smith? And then we're going to have to reply because he fucking retired.
It's like people still asking about Mitchell Schwartz, right? You know, like, why don't they just go get Mitchell Schwartz? Isn't he available? Yeah, he's available. He's on his couch, right? He's doing podcasts for The Athletic. But yeah, I think Onwenu is probably your best realistic tackle solution in free agency. And he's not a left tackle. I think the left tackle comes from the draft. And I think you pair him up with Onwenu. That's your ideal tackle situation. And if I'm asking Santa for other free agents, I'm going to pass on T. Higgins, actually. I'm not sure that's the right fit for the Titans, given, you know, what they've got with other players like DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, even. I think there's a little too much overlap. Give me Calvin Ridley. Give me Calvin Ridley as the wide receiver to go with Will Levis and to give you that guy who can operate.
Hold on, I'm vetoing.
Okay, all right.
That's the veto sound. I'm vetoing. Because I think the Jaguars are going to re-sign Calvin Ridley. I don't think they're going to let Calvin Ridley go.
Yeah, I think that's probably most likely as well.
There you go.
Do I get a second choice? Do I get a second choice? Since
I got backups.
I'll go Marquise Brown then. If I'm not getting Ridley, I would take Marquise Brown in a heartbeat to give you that true, you know, ceiling raiser off of the top of this defense. And we've seen Will Levis loves to throw the deep ball, so give him someone who can actually run underneath it.
Okay, is that it?
And if I'm asking Santa for, if I'm really asking Santa for a lot,
Santa's
here,
listening.
Give me Lloyd Cushenberry at center. I would take him in a heartbeat. I think he'd be an upgrade over Brewer. He would solidify that group, and he's still young. He's still 26, I believe, as well. Give me Lloyd in the center spot.
I like it. We've used one veto so far. And I've used it. So I've gotten a little bit more in depth. I will agree. I had Onwenu Woo on there.
Yeah.
I had Lloyd Cushenberry on there.
Okay.
I did not have T. Higgins on my list or Hollywood Brown. But we're going to spend this motherfucking money. And I'm going to Santa. And we're going right now. And I'm going to say, Santa, dear Santa, This Tennessee Titans team has a lot of freaking money, and it's about time Amy Adams Grunk opened up the checkbook, wrote a couple of checks like she's in a checkout line, holding up everybody's time at holidays, because it's time to go spending. But I'm going to start off with telling people that we're not going to re-sign. Because we're re-signing Lloyd Cushion, or we're signing Lloyd Cushenberry. Aaron Brewer, sorry, $2 steak. Go to Ponderosa and you'll be more useful there. Derrick Henry, you're out of here. No, yeah. We're not bringing you back.
Agreed.
We're not cutting DeAndre Hopkins, and we're not cutting Arden Key. And we're bringing back Sean Murphy Bunting, Azeez Al-Shaair, and Kayvon Wallace. I like me some Kayvon Wallace. I think he's going to be – I think that's good. I think you have a pretty good – and you could develop someone later.
Can I add something else to my to my list for this segment here?
Maybe.
Arden Key.
Danico Autry?
Arden Key stays. Well, yes. Danico Autry comes back. Arden Key stays. But the Titans go sign another edge defender. And my preference would be either Danielle Hunter or Bryce Huff.
Can't disagree. I like both those. No veto.
And move.
I went a different route
into a rotational role.
Yeah. So I got Danico Autry. We're re-signing him. And we said Lloyd Cushenberry. You know what, Mike? I'm going back to my days on the Flex, which was a fantasy football podcast I did with Robert Greenlaw, Justin Graver, and Ryan Watson. And my wide receiver of choice is not Mike Evans, even though I love Mike Evans.
I do love.
He's
Mike
not.
Evans.
T. Higgins. It is not Michael Pittman. It is not. Who else am I? So who's the other fourth best one out of that? I don't know. It's not them either. I'm going to the little Mooney boy. Darnell Mooney. That's who the Titans should sign. He's a physical wide receiver. He fits the deep threat need. He's a lot more sturdier and more reliable than Hollywood Brown. I like me some Darnell Mooney over Hollywood Brown. And Mike, you know what? Just for fun, let's sign an inside linebacker that isn't a cracker. And I am going for Oren Burks, who is from San Francisco. He's having a good year. He's a little older, but you put him, he's really good in coverage.
He's a Vanderbilt guy.
He's Al-Shaair. And then you're basically San Francisco Southeast, if you want to call it that. Give me some Oren Burks. I'm throwing the bag at Jalen Johnson. That's who I'm throwing the bag at. Give me a big, lengthy corner and put him with Sean Murphy Bunting. You got Roger McCreary in the slot. Elijah Molden can come and rotate in. Give me some Jalen Johnson. And someone already said it, but I'm going with two defensive linemen. Bring me Justin Mabuduke. Because I wanted him to be drafted in the first place, and they should have drafted him in the first place. And bring me Grover Stewart. Screw
like
it.
Grover
get
Stewart.
Another. Get the new Danico Autry. Like, and he's not Danico Autry, but give me the new Colts cast off that can come in and let's swallow up and fix this run defense. And lastly, this may be where you use your veto. It's time to rehab some wide receivers, Mike. And the best way to do that is a new change of scenery. And Santa, dear Santa, I'm asking you to trade Treylon Burks for George Pickens and a fourth.
Oh, God, no. If I'm vetoing this shit, I don't want anything to do with George Pickens. I'm out of the George Pickens business. Yeah, I'm out.
The
totally
veto has
out.
Been used.
I was hoping
you'd use like a little bit more vetoes and then you'd be out. But that was last one.
Yeah, I kept it in the tank. I will also throw in Anthony Walker Jr. is a linebacker option.
Yes. I almost put him in there.
I liked him last offseason for them. He ended up going back to the Browns. He's fantastic. And he's another former Colt. We just won all the former Colts here. But he's a really, really good player, really smart player, would be a really nice compliment next to our boy Azeez. So, yeah, I would love him. And also, the cornerback free agent class is kind of nice as it stands right now.
We'll Darius Sneed was on my list. And if you know,
Sneed would be great. I love Awuzier. I'm a big Awuzier guy. I'd be down for any of those three at the corner spot to kind of help across from
Is Frankie Louvu available? Because someone else said that, and I did not see him on the list. When
I believe, unless he got an extension recently.
Let's just check. Because I was going to say Frankie Louvu, but I couldn't find. No, he's an unrestricted free agent, but I don't know why they didn't have him on the list. I swear I looked like twice for him. But I'd be fine with Frankie Louvu as well.
You know, here's another one that I think I'd like to see, and I think actually is pretty realistic. So they're obviously going to be replacing Tier Tart in that nose tackle position. DJ Reader is going to be a free agent. DJ Reader has experience with Mike Vrabel from their days in Houston and has been a fantastic nose tackle for Cincinnati over the last few years. I would love a DJ Reader, Mike Vrabel reunion. And look, I mean, they're going to have cash to spend. Like, you can go get, you can say, all right, shop at the top of the market. You know, like, find the positions that you want to spend on and go shop at the top of the market. Go get some of these guys that are going to be like the top level guys in free agency. Now, that you're not going to find superstars, right? Like, there's not a TJ Watt, there's not a Nick Bosa, there's not a
Mike Vrabel's proven he doesn't need superstars. He just needs like slightly average to above average right now. And because I said it's all below average for the most part. Like, you go to every position group, there's at least three or four on each side of the ball. There's at least four or five starters that probably wouldn't start for another team. And that's probably being generous off the top of my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that probably would be struggling to make rosters elsewhere.
I almost put Jonathan Greenard, but I almost think that he's going to go back to Houston. So it's kind of like, I was trying to be a little realistic, but he was on my radar. Greenard was on my radar for sure.
Yeah, mine too. It's a nice edge class too, really.
It's a really nice, like, find a guy to go with Jeffrey Simmons class. Like, find that guy. And that guy is not Tier Tartan's okay, but like, find that guy that can go next to Jeffrey Simmons. Don't do the Jarrell Casey thing all over with Jeffrey Simmons, where we're always like, this is the year they can find someone to go, you know, next to Jarrell Casey. And then it took Jeffrey Simmons, and then there goes Jarrell Casey on the other side.
So, and honestly, like, if Daquan Jones became available, which I think he will be, I think he actually will be a free agent, I'd be down for a Daquan Jones on the list. Reunion. I'd be up for that. He's been very good for Buffalo.
All right. I don't know if we'll need vetoes in the draft. We've been aligning pretty well in our offseason outlook so far, but you went first last time, so I'm going to start this time.
Okay.
Going to the North Pole, going to the mall, Hickory Hollow Mall. Going to the north, sit on Santa's lap.
Going to finish line.
Let's do it. Three months away. And I am so excited for it. I'm going to the Senior Bowl. I'm going to try and go to the Combine for like the third or fourth year in a row. Get me and Stoney up there if we can. But most importantly, I just love the film watching, the debates, the analysis that goes into the draft. I know a lot of people think that it can come too early, but to me, the draft is all season long. Round one, I don't care who the fuck it is, but bring me Joe Alt or Olu Fashawatana, because I'm never going to be able to pronounce his name.
Fashanu.
I don't care which one. Bring me one of those big, meaty men and put him under the Christmas tree. Round two, I'm going to give you a few more names. I just don't care. Just bring me one of them. Aiden Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, Johnny Wilson. I don't care. Round two, just bring me a wide receiver that's not named Treylon Burks. Round four, we're going cornerback, baby, because this team still needs a corner, because I'm a little afraid that they're not going to have enough corners. And bring me a Max Melton, a Nehemiah Pritchett, or an underrated Maryland defensive back that's really good in man coverage, Jaquan Shepherd. Round five, screw it. I don't care if people hated the running back pick last year. I do not care. Bring me Braylon Allen or Braylon Allen from, I should have wrote it down. I think it was Wisconsin. Is he always to get Wisconsin and Nebraska confused?
That's right.
I always think, which one did Russell Wilson play for?
Wisconsin.
See, I always think he plays for Nebraska.
Braylon Allen's Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wisconsin. He's the 19-year-old from Wisconsin that's like, you know, he's like your size but muscular. And then there's Isaiah Davis, who is from South Dakota State, who is like your size but taller. You know, he's like smaller. But like, those are some big guys to go with Tajay Spears. And I don't care what happens in round, if it's round six, round seven, even though he likely won't be there, because this is going to be the new Jaden Reed. He is the new guy. I'm telling you right now, this guy is going to be the Jaden Reed of this draft class, and that's Jacob Cowling out of Arizona. He's a wide receiver. So bring me a tackle, a wide receiver, a cornerback, a running back, and another guy that's to be named determined later, and another wide receiver in this draft, Santa.
I wouldn't veto necessarily any of those. I like, personally, for running backs, if you're looking for a Tajay Spears compliment, I like Taj, as confusing as this would be for Titans fans, I like Taj Brooks from Texas Tech. I think he's a really good player. You know, he's also stout. He's a shorter guy. I think he's like 5'10", 5'11", but he's 230 pounds. So.
I also like Jaquavius Marks in that kind of like stouter, thicker kind of range.
Yeah, I like that kind of back to pair with Spears, like more of a downhill, just, you know, no nonsense, you know, tackle breaker kind of guy.
Taj Brooks apparently has declared that he's coming back to Texas Tech.
Has he? Okay. So, interesting.
It's gonna be crazy. This NIL stuff is crazy.
It is. I was sure he was gonna come out because he had a fantastic year. I don't know how much more his draft stock's gonna rise with another season at Tech, but who knows? I think in the second round, I do like wide receiver. I love A.D. Mitchell. And look, I know I'm a Texas guy. Get it, you know, all that, but I feel like I'm pretty objective about their draft prospects. And for the most part, I mean, I was, you know, obviously big on Bijan.
Who was the linebacker that you fell in love with that went to the Bengals? Was he undrafted or no? He
got Joseph Osai. Joseph Osai. I really like
it. Wasn't him. It was, it wasn't him. It was someone. Is Malachi, was there Jefferson?
Malik Jefferson.
Malik Jefferson.
I wasn't crazy about him as a draft prospect. I thought he's a really good athlete.
PBK says it's crazy to watch college football collapse because college football is apparently never going to be popular or anything ever again.
No, it's not collapsing. This playoff is about to be insanely highly rated, given the teams.
He just does some stuff sometimes. This is, I don't know. Maybe that's just stick.
But I think A.D. Mitchell has a chance to be like, it wouldn't shock me if he was the best wide receiver in this draft. And like that includes
A.D. Mitchell is so fucking good.
He is so fucking good.
It's an SFG grade from A to Z.
That's high. But I mean, you just don't see like 6'4" guys with his ability to like get in and out of breaks and movement skills and everything like that. Like this dude is a freak show. And he's been, the fact that he was playing on a team with Xavier Worthy and with Jatavion Sanders has kind of masked how good he really was. And he was hurt at Georgia, right? Like, so he never played like really a full season at Georgia, but every time he's on the field, he's productive. This dude is a monster. If he stays healthy at the NFL level, it wouldn't shock me at all if he's better than like Marvin Harrison. Like I think Marvin Harrison's a better prospect. I'm not saying that AD is a better prospect.
The better prospect. Yeah. Listen, let me say something while we're on the topic of better prospects and UT football players and shit like that. Where was this generational Bijan Robinson? Oh, he's going to the perfect coach. And oh, this is going to be so good. Fucking lost me the 102.5 game fantasy football. Like, we got 7 carries, like 11 yards and a fumble. Fuck Bijan Robinson and this generational horse you all keep using. Kyle Pitts was generational. Trevor Lawrence is generational. Now Bijan Robinson is generational. You know what? Marvin Harrison ain't gonna do shit because you're all thinking he's a generational. Fuck it. A.D. Mitchell, here we go.
I do love it. I do love A.D. Mitchell. I would consider double dipping on offensive line in the second round. Like, I think I'd at least consider it.
I'm not against it.
Like, I wouldn't be mad at a what's his name?
Is this your Christmas wish? Do I need to put the music out, or do you already?
Yeah, yeah, we can.
Let's hear Santa.
Okay, all right, let's do it. This year, and all I really want is for the Titans to stop being awful at left tackle, because they were so good for so long and we took it for granted, and we're sorry about that, Santa. But give me Joe Alt in the first round, please. He's big, he's long, he's down to get the friction on. Put him next to our boy Peter Skoronski and have a left side of the offensive line that can really get after things for the next 10 years. We'll be set. We'll be set. So give me Joe Alt in the first round. I'm going to go double dip in the second round, and I'm going to go back and go with Oregon center Jackson Powers Johnson, I think is the full name there. Yeah. Dude is fantastic. Allowed one pressure the entire season at Oregon this year. That's it. One pressure. Guy is an absolute monster. And unfortunately, since there's no third round pick, we're dropping down here for our wide receiver a little bit. But in the fourth round, we will grab a wide receiver. And let me pull up my name here because it is going blank on me. We are grabbing. Where is it here? Fuck. All right. We are grabbing Jalen McMillan from Washington, assuming he comes out of school. Okay. We'll see. We'll see if he comes out of school. But that's where I want to go. I think McMillan's not as good as Odunze, obviously, but he's fantastic. Like, all these Washington receivers are badasses. Fifth round, I'll go with I'll stick with your pick there. And then which was that where you got the running back?
Yeah, Braylon Allen or Isaiah Davis.
I'll go with Braylon Allen. I like a big beefy boy to go with.
And he's 19, not a lot of wear and tear.
Like that too. Got some upside. He'll only be like 23 when he gets his second contract. And then we'll round it out with a corner and an edge rusher or something like that. I'm not going to pretend like I've got a sixth or seventh round pick that I'm like passionate about right now. But yeah. That's what I'll take. I'm on the fix the offensive line.
Without the third round pick, it's really hard for me to wait.
I know.
For round four. And also, like, having two rookie offensive linemen.
Yeah.
You have them with one of the coaches that we asked Santa for, then that changes everything. Like,
yeah.
Having two rookie offensive linemen with Jason Hotelling scares me to death.
Yeah, going rookie, second-year player, rookie on the left side of the offensive line would be a little scary next season.
Well, if Santa brought us the offensive line coach, and listen, the thing is that, like, no matter what Santa brings us, we have to keep in mind that Mike Vrabel does not have another year of what we've seen over the last two seasons left in him. He could be as good as we think he is, and I think he's a really good coach. But now that you're involved, unless something comes out that he's like, hey, I'm taking a step back, I'm letting Rand do his thing, blah, 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 buy himself some time, even if that's a lie, but we can only go on with what we're told. But I feel like we had some pretty reasonable, some pretty good Christmas lists. And now, actually, I'm very surprised that we are actually under an hour. It's a Christmas fucking miracle here at Honor There Afterwards, because we are done. So, Podkarski.com, give someone a subscription to Podkarski.com, StackingInbox.com, give someone a subscription to StackingInbox.com. Help bring our Christmas dreams to life. Make sure to read the article from Mike that's out right now over at Podkarski.com, talking about the offensive line, talking about how important it is. Make sure you read StackingInbox.com coming out on Thursday morning. It's all about just breaking the narrative, shattering some narratives that are out there, because there are people who are growing entrenched and their whole identity involves around hating Mike Vrabel. Like, that is their whole reason for being on X, the reason for being a thing, because they know they can get interaction by talking about Mike Vrabel, by talking about Tim Kelly, and not actually thinking outside the box to do extra effort. They're becoming hot take artists. So, in saying that. Make sure you read my article on stackingthinbox.com, debunking most of the shit that you're going to see either from hear from Stillman or see on a bunch of other websites. And I know it's a little late and he's probably not even listening to the end of the show, but congratulations and good luck to Sean Calderon, who is leaving the scum of Titans Media and going to the great Madden world in the sky. He's writing, I guess he is going to analyze gameplay, what I'm assuming from what I can take. So he's analyzing gameplay so they can make sure to write the script for the announcers that are on Madden. I haven't played Madden forever, so I don't even know who the announcers are. So they are going to be Charles more technically Davis accurate with their calling. So yeah. I think it's great. So congratulations, Sean Calderon, on that. Mike, you were about to say something before I got into that. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yeah, it was the Vrabel. It has to do with it was this narrative, and I've seen it a couple times now. That's the only reason I'm mentioning it. This idea that like Vrabel has somehow snowed the Nashville media into being on his side, or that the Titans came out and told the Nashville media to be nice to Mike Vrabel or say good things about Mike Vrabel. That is 100% not true. Mike Vrabel, frankly, treats the media like shit half the time. So I don't think he's like bought any favors from this group. But the funny thing is, the Nashville media is not as high on Mike Vrabel as the national media is. Because if you look at what Ty Dunn said on RKW this morning, if you look at what Diana Russini talks about,
which totally got the whole premise of the whole statement totally got ignored and thrown to the wayside. And it was a straw man's argument that got created
that Tom is better than.
And then someone's like, and then someone jumps in, and that I can't remember who it was, but someone jumps in and is like, well, this is, just Nashville media. And I think it was a bunch of them, but local media is like, and the fans, they're just being fed all this bullshit and they're just eating it all up. And I'm thinking, dude, that's a national guy. Like, that's a national guy. And it's in the quote. Like, right? Guy. It's in the quote. Yeah. It's in the quotes right there.
Yeah, Ty Dunn is a Buffalo guy. He has nothing to do with Nashville. And, the national media all talks about how great Vrabel is and how coveted he is, to the point where, like, it's not a discussion about whether or not the Titans are going to fire him. It's a question about whether or not they trade him and what they get for him from New England, who would be looking at firing the greatest coach of all time to hire him. That is the perception of Vrabel nationally. I think it's insane, this idea that like Vrabel is, getting a free pass or anything. Like, people are critical of Vrabel. I just think everyone's sitting here going, and this is what I wrote about in my column today. I spent the whole offseason talking about, I think this roster sucks. I think this roster sucks. I was Debbie Downer. I know, people got pissed off at me about it. I still feel like this roster sucks. And so that's why my position on Vrabel has not changed one bit, because I was like, I think this roster sucks. I think they're going to be bad going into the season. Now they are bad. The roster does suck. Why would my opinion of Mike Vrabel change? So it's just this weird vortex where we live in, where like a coach cannot have a losing season without being fired, and
which is that people would throw Mike Vrabel off a bridge for, including myself, have had losing seasons with bad rosters.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan,
Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay,
loss seasons for Kyle Shanahan in his first four seasons as a head coach, by the way. And the 49ers hung on to him. Why? Because they knew he was a good coach with a bad roster then. And
there is proof of concept for Mike Vrabel. Quit using these last few things, these, last year and a half, as reason why to fire him. You're ignoring the larger sample size. You're ignoring the roster problems. This has been Football Internet Efforts, because I want to get out before an hour, and you've just been effed.